The nonsense you're about to hear on this bonus edition of Summer of Stein and all of our Big Brother coverage is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast.
Thank you for that, actually.
To find out more about the benefits of becoming part of our patron community, check out robhasawebsite.com/patron.
Big Brother time, do you hear that sound? It's Eric Stein about to break it down. Watching the show for us three times a week. It's spilling truth on RHAB. Your house guest better watch your mouth. The Stein knows where your game's heading out. He's got the gift of gab and knows what to say. When you are ready, Bob, yeah, take it away.
We are doing this live. Yes, that is right. We are live here with a Summer of Stein Battle Back edition.
Robbie, has been a great week, my friend. I've been feeding the positive, following my coach's instructions, and also fantastic is that someone has been feeding me. Strangely enough, people have been leaving these delicious beefy pastas and pizzas just around my apartment. So I've gained like probably 10, 15 pounds this week, but I have been crushing the food and crushing life.
You look good. Yes. Are you like Scotty and is it apple cider vinegar? Is that the secret?
I've also heard like some kind of apple vinegar thing is the way to go.
That's what I would have led with coming back into the house as well, for sure.
Eric, Scotty is back.
What's the opposite of ta-ta for now?
It was only for now, because then he came right back into the house.
Yes, and he bounced his way in also, just like a happy-go-lucky Tigger right back into the house. It's everything has come full Winnie the Pooh for him.
Yeah, so very excited, but Scotty is back. We'll touch on the HOH there a little bit at the end. That's not really our gig here. We got a lot to do. Going to answer your questions here on a special edition here of the Summer of Stein podcast. So excited to have you guys here with us. We've got a bunch of stuff to get to. Eric, it's only been a couple days. How you been?
They've been action-packed. I honestly was concerned that we weren't going to have a lot to talk about, but the meta nature and repetition of the Summer of Stein has finally blossomed and come full circle. This week, just since Monday, we have had interactions with Caitlin, with Steve, with Paulie. Everybody is coming out of the woodworks. The craze of the Summer of Stein is finally taking a hold here.
Finally. Yeah. I was saying yesterday, I was texting, I think we might need to go daily on Summer of Stein.
Yes. Well, you'll see the demand really tip over in the negative very quickly then.
Yes. Well, we had to reach our peak before we can have our inevitable crash back down to Earth.
And today starts the precipitous decline.
Yeah, that's the beginning of the end here as we head into Labor Day weekend. But look, we got further than most people thought we would, Eric.
I'm proud. I'm proud. And I'm excited for what today has in store. I have a feeling that there might be some cameos on the podcast today. So this
maybe. 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 All right. Eric, let's talk about the business at hand. We have a one person leaving the house, somebody else coming back in. It was Fessel. That big dumb moron puppet.
Fessel is a moron.
He is gone. Eric, do you have any final thoughts on Fessel?
I don't remember if it was last night or Wednesdays when JC's like, oh man, I think I'm going to have to let Fessy go. It seems like A, he's going to be voted out, and B, he has no brain, so he can't help me anymore. I mean, this might be one of the great... up there with Derek and Victoria, and I'm not even being facetious, like great using of someone in the history of the Big Brother game. He just trolled him hard for 75 days, and then when he was expired, he just kicked him right out of the house. Mm-hmm. And never to be thought of again. Listen, Fessy's right, JC's right, he's a big dummy. He's like a golden retriever following Haley around the house. And now we will have Scotty back in as a toy poodle following her around the house. And that's the end of it. Fessy's a terrible Big Brother player, a reasonably nice man, physically strong. But he really brought nothing but stupidity to the House this summer, and I will not miss him at all. Thank goodness he did not come back. That would have just been that would have been really damaging to this season, which has been on such a high for so long, as if we had to literally replay last week again. So at least we do not have that exact scenario.
Yeah. Eric, could you see a return to Big Brother for Fessy?
Absolutely not.
Under no circumstances.
This is going to be like, he can't even return to the audience. Mm-hmm. Like they have immediately lost his number. He will never speak to production again after finale night. In fact, I have it on good authority that they were trying to replace Fessy up until like 2 days before the show.
Yes. Now, Eric, could we see the tall and the short of it reunited? Could Fessy and JC, perhaps, is there an amazing race stint in their future?
I do not think Fessy is going to go for that once he sees what's been going on throughout the course
but
of the season.
That but
that would, be a better chance. And I would actually happily watch TV shorts if they could put them together. You know, some sort of 5 minute short
tall
form
shorts.
Comedy.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That would be probably his best practical application. If he's lucky, he might receive a fan gift basket. And appear at a minor league hockey game if he could like stretch out the teasing of a possible showmance for like a week or two after the show. But as I told the tale many moons mm-hmm. ago on the podcast, we all know where that lands you by Christmas. So
yes, it's an old story.
Tale as old as time. So Fessy will be more likely to receive that James Ryan call than he will be to receive another call to play Big Brother again.
Okay. More on Fessy to come. We've got a lot of feedback from you guys that we're going to get to later on the show. Our top story at this hour, Scotty is back in the Big Brother house. Eric, how excited are you for Scotty 2.0?
I was really genuinely rooting for Scotty because, you know, he represents the great hope that things are going to turn around and he's going to know exactly what to do. We saw it all last night. The jury has it figured it out. They know exactly who they need to go after. Nope. I'm going to align with Tyler. It'll be great. Yep. It'll be the time of our lives. Boy, did that let the air out of the balloon quickly.
And then,
and then, as you guys covered last night, then I'm like, watching Fessy start to destroy them in the competition, I'm like, oh, you know what? I really am rooting for Scotty. At least it's different. At least it's different. And then, you know, we were quick to find out that Scotty still doesn't know what's going on here.
Yes.
And I'm afraid, as we had possibly speculated, I don't think Scotty ever is going to know this summer. So, you know, I'm happy for him. He seems delighted to be back in there. I do not have great faith for what this is going to do to the game, though.
Nor should you. Nor should you.
Yeah. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, well, Eric, you were really very early to the party of Scotty doesn't know. But Scotty doesn't know has really become a meme at this point because of the lack of things that he seems to know. We saw it a lot on the episode last night. Here was Scotty in the jury house.
Why are you up there?
I honestly don't know.
You really?
I thought he was the one talking first in that clip, and I was like, boy, that was even higher than usual. He must have been excited.
Then this is more questions that are stumping Scotty. Here's another one from the jury house.
You told him that you like the girl that he's in love with.
He's in love with her?
Well, yes.
I didn't know that.
He didn't know that Fessy was in love with Haley.
If I didn't know better, at this point, I would think he was doing this for my benefit.
Yeah.
He knows nothing. He knows not the man that knows less than anyone has ever known. I can understand not getting the full strategic scope of the relationships of the house. But how could you sit there with a straight face and say that he does not know? So he's actually now purporting that he really did think this would help him in the game because all three of them were friends. So he's telling Fessy, oh, well, I actually have a crush on Haley, so I'll never do anything to hurt you guys. And he's really thinking that this is helping his standing in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's dumbfounding. It actually is putting more like sort of context to what he was actually doing, because he really thought that this was going to help him with Fessy, which is astounding. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Scotty, I think, is competing for a spot on the remake of You Can't Do That on Television, Eric.
Yes, or possibly a remake of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Yeah. So, yeah, Scotty came right back, and now he will have another chance to be able to compete for the $500,000 prize. Eric, could you give us a scale of 1 to 5 oofs Scotty's chances to win the game?
Yeah, let's also not forget that he also didn't know what the growth was on his neck that he came running into the house to share with everyone, which was very bizarre way to re-enter the game. I would say his chances of winning the game at this point are a full 5 oofs.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good about it.
All right, a lot of questions from last night's episode. Let's bring some of them in. This is from Danielle, who writes, which one of you had "there are no words in my vocabulary to describe how beautiful you are" in the "what Haley will say to Julie" game? Eric, we did our draft the other day of what adjective will Haley use to describe Julie. This is what she had to say last night.
Well, I don't know if I can follow that. First of all, Julie, there are no words in my vocabulary to capture your beauty for the night.
Now,
I thought this was incredible. Genius, genius wordsmithing by Haley. Now, keep in mind, the other house guests, they don't know that she's been doing this week after week in the diary room. So it was a great subtle way to slip it in. And she got one over on us also. Genius.
Yes. But now, she didn't vote last night, though.
Yeah, well, I agree, but I thought it was nice that she worked it into her Thursday routine. Now, also, after I mentioned this on Monday, you can't unsee her little look up into the sky eye rolling in the DR, right?
Once I, oh, once you know, I forgot to look at there. It. I'll go back. Oh, yeah. I'll look for it now.
I started now really taking note of it. It was every single time she spoke in the diary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I thought it was nice. Very nice. She is very complimentary of Julie. I enjoyed seeing that.
Okay. Is she trying to brand herself that she's like such a wordsmith? I mean, has there been one word that she has used that is, oh my God, Haley must have gotten a perfect SAT score if she knows what that word means.
Yeah, if only she was using her words to help her place in the game instead. Spent too much time trying to compliment Julie. I will say, and we've covered this before, and I do think it's an apt comparison, Haley is entirely having the experience of Nicole 1.0. She has done a serviceable job. She's pretty well liked in the house, but she hasn't really played her game to the betterment of exactly the correct people. And she showmans, she's a little bit young, and ultimately she does not have the courage in her own convictions to make, you know, kind of stand her ground the way that she needs to. But she's 21 years old and she's getting her footing in this. Having played the game, if she comes back again in 2 seasons and has another opportunity, she will be a lot stronger strategically. Haley has what it takes socially. She's well liked by most of the people in the house. The guys absolutely adore her. She can pull this off, just not this time around.
Okay.
There are no words to describe her chances of winning the game other than 5 oofs right along with Scotty.
They're perfect for each other.
Yep. This is the new oof-tastics of the house.
Okay. Let's take another question from our listeners sent in. And here we go. Here is... this is from Jeffrey, who says, what was the point of JC fattening up the house if JC drinks out of Tyler's cup on the Wednesday episode? No longer seems like a genius strategy. Eric, did you notice when JC was drinking out of the Tyler cup?
Oh, he had his coffee cup. Is that what happened?
He had like his water cup, the cup that said Tyler.
All right, well, I'm not exactly sure I see the correlation between why Tyler being fat would then, what, is that going to in turn somehow fatten JC by drinking his water? Is that the theory here?
Well, we don't know what he's putting in the water.
Oh, I see. So he's likely, what, fattening up the waters as well? Is that what's happening here? I'm not sure. I'm sorry, Jeffrey. I'm not buying the logic on this one.
Anthony wants to know, Rob and Eric, please forecast the Haley and Scotty relationship post Fessy eviction. Now, you forecast the Haley and Fessy relationship outside of the house. How do you think that Haley and Scotty is going to play out?
Something like this. Evicted this week, evicted next week.
Will that make them closer, Eric?
Well, I would say theoretically, yes, other than the fact that Fessy will be waiting for them in the jury house again to once again muddy the situation. So I'm seeing, and this is going to be bad. The fans are going to hate this. Haley's going to try and distance herself a little bit from Scotty. At first, they're going to be inseparable, best buds. And then when the going gets tough and she's going to be willing to throw him under the bus and she's going to, oh, Scotty is annoying me. He's driving me nuts now. He's following me around like a puppy. And then the fans are going to be like, come on, Haley, why you got to do this nice guy dirty like that? And it's going to be a bad look for all parties involved. And then they're going to both be evicted. It's a sad, sad, sad trajectory for the next couple of weeks coming up.
Okay.
The problem is really the only thing Scotty can do is unite the perceived, like, you know, not core Tyler people, but they really are all core Tyler people. That's the problem. Is you could make that move against Angela or make the move against Casey theoretically, but you can't round up JC and Sam, who you need to do anything to get Tyler out. They won't do it. So even if you can get a couple of Tyler's cronies out, well, then that just means you've reshuffled who Tyler's final three will be. Instead of going with Casey and Angela, well, now he's just going with Sam and JC. It doesn't really, like, there's no real way of going after Tyler at this point. It's too far gone, and Scotty will, especially considering Scotty's aligning with him, so that particularly muddies up the plan. So he's just out. He's out.
Okay. Let's take this question from John Barber Jr., which is an important one. What do you think the squid juice tasted like, Eric?
Hashtag beef sauce. That was an easy one.
I made like a pasta with hot dogs, ground beef, and everything I found around the house. It's like a beef sauce.
I've been so tempted to make that all week long. I feel like it's been like on my near to-do list. I had to get rid of some old groceries, but maybe next week it's on the menu.
Mm-hmm. Would you send us a video of you preparing the beef sauce?
Of course I will.
Eric, did you like the power of veto competition from this week?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I enjoyed, I think the whole thing should have been, well, I think, I guess this could have gotten dangerous, but a few things. One is they could have all been playing at the same time. That would have probably been a lot more chaotic and a lot more fun. And I think the whole thing could have just simply been catching the falling ones with your mouth. I think that would have been far more enjoyable. It was funny seeing them get hit in the face, trying out the different techniques. I thought that was fun. Everyone, I guess, likes a good sliming, right? It's okay.
That's why Scotty says I don't know all the time.
Yeah, lost the technology thread a little bit.
I mean, like we had the technology thread.
What was also a little strange to me was there was such disparity between how Casey and Fessy did and everybody else. That seems to show that there was something that was not quite thought out about this game, that some people could be so good at it and others could be so bad at it. But what are you going to do?
Okay, let's take another question. This one is from Reality Lawyer. Does Eric Stein tweets feel like his move in not taking JC in the TMZ draft is less or more of a disaster than Fessy's HOH?
Yeah, I deserve the full five oofs on the oofometer for that one.
That'd be fair. You know, I don't think that TMZ has reported on any JC incidents this week.
I think it's still a 1-0 tally. I like to think outside of the box. You know, I just try, don't want to go with the obvious always. You know, it's not all about winning. You know, sometimes you just want to be liked by America instead of going for that cash, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't always go for the win in these drafts.
Okay. Yeah, TMZ, were they asleep at the switch? I think that, who reported on JC this week? Was it Newsweek and Yahoo?
Yeah, I'm not good. This is a controversial stance, and I'm not going to go and say you should necessarily watch your roommates in the restroom or lick their armpits while they sleep or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But to the defense of the situation at large, I would encourage people to think about when you're sort of being monitoring these things, think about your interactions with your friends. If you were at like day 75 of hanging out with your friends for the summer and how you would be with each other and be playful and be, and I'm not defending any specific action and I'm not saying that he hasn't crossed the line in any place, but you have to understand, like, I might say some things that are a little bit more wild and off-colored when hanging out with my friends and laughing and being crazy than I would in a different situation. And, you know, I know I'll probably take heat for saying that. But the fact of the matter is, like, before everyone, like, fully PC polices every action in the house, consider sort of, like, the environment and that they, I really do believe JC does not think he's doing anything harmful in these situations. He may be, but I really don't think there's any ill intent behind his actions.
Mm-hmm. A lot going on. A lot of factors going on.
Yeah. And there's a lot of ice cream to scoop in the house. So.
All right. Fessy's left nut wants to know, what's wrong with Range Rovers, Eric?
I think that there's no problem with Range Rovers, although as we... Let me give the context
yeah. of this is when Fessy really tried to throw Angela under the Range Rover in his speech while he was on the block last night.
As far as HOH... First time I realized how spoon-fed you've been your whole life is when you were bragging about driving a Range Rover and how you wear a fake engagement ring at the grocery store. Just relax. I promise you're not all that.
You're not all that just because you have a Range Rover.
I guess here's what I'll say. I started thinking about the occupations of who has one big brother. And if you remove Derek from the equation, you have like student, sometimes, occasionally, you know, like a bartender, things along those lines. Normally speaking, and this is not throwing shade, I fit into this category, obviously. If you can give up 99 days of your life to go play a game show, then you probably are not rolling in it or like really well solidified in your day-to-day life. So I think strategically speaking, if we're answering this question seriously, people do not want to give the money to someone. This has been a long-standing storyline in Survivor, you know, this is since Dr. Carl, as I said, it's my second Dr. Carl reference of the Summer of Stein. But the fact of the matter is people don't want to give the money to someone who they think is well off, whether that's fair or not or part of the game or not. It's a fact. You'd rather give it to someone who you feel like you're helping. It makes you feel better about losing to that person. Well, at least I'm setting, you know, Steve and Ian up, you know, for a nice life ahead if they think Angela's already set up. I think it probably dinged her a little bit in the game.
Now, what about this, her wearing an engagement ring to the grocery store?
That is a little bit more bizarre, but I also don't know where he would have come up with that. Like, were they having these, like, late-night talks where she was saying, like, Fessy, when I'm home, here's what I like to do at the grocery store. Like, that struck me as a bizarre narrative, I will say.
I just don't know what he's going for. That is, she is, it's, from what I understand, just based on what he says, and let's listen to it one more time.
HOH, first time I realized how spoon-fed you've been your whole life is when you were bragging about driving a Range Rover and how you wear a fake engagement ring at the grocery store. Just relax. I promise you're not all that.
So the fake engagement ring seems like that so many guys are going to hit on her. She's like, I'm spoken for. I'm engaged. But I don't know what that really has to do with being spoon fed.
I think that's the takeaway.
Secondly, what does that have to do with the game? Why is anybody like, oh boy, oh, Fessy really put the screws to Angela?
I think your analysis is correct based on what he said and how he presented it. But I think what he was actually trying to say is that she has jewelry as big as an engagement ring that she wears like it's nothing just around the neighborhood. Like she has some gigantic diamond ring.
The engagement ring is worth a lot of money.
Basically, she's flashing around her jewelry in her car. Even when she's going food shopping, she acts like she's better than everyone else, just like she's acting in the house. And I will say, Angela's game has kicked up a lot, but she is lacking game subtlety, which Tyler has in spades. Casey has quite a ton of, even JC has a little bit of. And Angela's game, we've heard it now from every jury member and in the House a lot. She has become public enemy number one. She looks like she's the strongest member of the alliance because of her ruthlessness, her competition wins, and this and that. And it's really hard to win the Big Brother game from out in front in that pole position. People gun for you. So now it has become readily apparent that when someone's got to go out of the core three, it's going to be Angela unless she wins a competition to save herself.
Yeah. I mean, the great irony is that, you know, Angela is looking like this person that nobody wants to vote for in the final two. And this is the one person that Tyler does not have the final two with.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He doesn't want to sit against her because he's going along with this groupthink consensus that she's unbeatable and she's such a beast. It is very interesting. But as we've covered ad nauseum, perception is reality in the Big Brother house. So if that's how they're seeing her, then that's the truth.
Okay. Let me play you a voicemail we got from our buddy Matt Price about last night.
Hey, Rob and Eric. This is Matt Price. I wanted to get your take on whether Scotty, Bailey, and Rockstar all trying to guess with hilariously bad guesses who was going to return to the game, if that was the most Falte thing that we've seen to date. It reminded me kind of Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL, where they couldn't have an easier set of questions and yet comically got worse and worse answers. So I'd love to know your thoughts on that. Thanks. Bye.
Eric, how funny was that when everybody in Falte tried to guess about the who do you think's coming out next? And none of them were close.
Yeah, I like the optimism.
And
then
they
nice.
All had to like, oh, well, who do you think it could be? Who do you want it to be? And none of them even said Fessy.
They also reacted incredibly poorly to Fessy's arrival because not only is another ally leaving, but they all had that look of, oh, no, now we have to play this game against Fessy, which is the proper reaction. And I thought they came out of last night looking great. They had a good sense of humor about the whole thing, and they were supportive of whoever won. You know, it seemed like they had discussed it ahead of time and say, hey, listen, whoever gets out there, you do it for the rest of us. And no one had sour grapes about
it. None of us have
it.
A chance anyway. Sure.
But the most funeral. Amazing clip, totally underreported for last night. I must have watched this 30 times already, is how great everyone celebrating when Scotty comes back in the front door is, and Tyler and JC and Angela like jumping up and down, and they're obviously not happy, and they're like all so awkward, and like who trails behind and who's genuinely excited. Sam runs over ear to ear smiling, hugging him and this and that, and then you see like JC and Angela like a step behind, like slowly skipping over, and you know, like they don't really emote in exactly the same way also, so like Angela's trying to be like, yeah, it's you, Scott. So funny. I'm sure they're just thrilled, and I do believe that for most of them Scotty was probably the lesser of the four evils, because they probably just feel most pleased to live with Scotty. There's a lot more bad blood with the other three,
sure.
And probably a little bit more fear of their direct attacks. And they're probably like, oh, great, Scotty's back. That's fine. But
whatever.
The reactions were way over the top.
Scotty the pushover is back. We'll just evict him again. And he'll be like,
yeah,
hey,
he doesn't even know anything.
I love you guys. Stay, just thanks for even thinking about voting me out this week. I appreciate it. Eric,
reminding me more and more of Elmo.
Oh. Well, this brings up that's a good question. You bring Elmo into this. Eric, we heard JC say to Fessy, I miss you. You were my Muppet. Do you want to weigh in on the Is Big Bird a Muppet controversy?
I would weigh in, Rob, but I'm very low energy right
too
now.
Low energy to weigh in on it. Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to actually take the opposing stance that you took last night.
Good.
And I would say Big Bird, as well as the entire cast of Sesame Street, are Muppets and strongly tied to the Muppet family.
Strongly tied to the
Muppet
family.
I am a Muppet historian. I've been to the Jim Henson exhibit, even in the museum in Queens, New York. And I'm going to firmly state that Big Bird is, in fact, a Muppet.
I do realize that technically, I think that because of the copyright of Big Bird being a part of Sesame Street does make him a Muppet. But I really think that the term Muppet should be a marionette puppet or somebody who is limited to the world of the Muppet Show. Are Bert and Ernie Muppets? I think not.
What about Alf?
Alf is not a Muppet.
Well, I know he's not in the Muppet family, but is it, yes, because I guess Alf functions similarly to Big Bird, right? Mm-hmm. So I see your point. I would categorize him in the Muppet family of Friends, but if whether or not
he's Muppet adjacent, I feel like
yes. I do. I think. Technically speaking, we're both correct.
Yes. Okay.
Glad we got to the bottom of that.
We got to the bottom of this. Okay. Let's get back to... actually, we didn't hear from Victoria on Monday. I felt bad when you posted the spoilers from the podcast that we didn't hear from Victoria. Would you like to hear from Victoria today?
I would. I would like to also comment on something that I found very funny about that. Someone who shares like Victoria's last name, so a husband, a sibling, a father, something, commented on my comment in the spoilers that we wouldn't be hearing from her. It's like, why? What happened to her? Like, all concerned. I was like, oh, she's okay. We just didn't play the message this week. That's all. It's fine.
Yeah.
She's fine. Don't worry.
We had a lot to get to the other day. Okay. Here's Victoria.
Hey, Rob has a podcast. Hey. Hey, Eric Stein. Hey. It's Victoria. And I have a question for my fave, Eric.
Wow.
I'm super duper sad. Hot Mess Fussy is gone. So my question to you, Eric, is... I never figured out what hairstyle of Fessies I liked more. So I was hoping that you could give your two cents because I really like the flip-floppy like hairdo he does. But I also like when he does like a little top knot action because I feel like he means business. So I was wondering which hairstyle you liked, you thought Fessy rocked more. So yeah. I hope you guys have a beautiful weekend and I hope you have a beautiful podcasting day. I just said have a great day. Okay. Bye.
Stuck the landing.
Well, yes, I'm quite a hair expert, as are you, Rob. I spent actually 7 hours straightening my hair before.
Do you have the same reaction as Tyler?
Yes, I did actually. I had noticed a few times he did seem very well conditioned, looked very soft. Mm-hmm. So I will go with the flip-flop look. And also, I feel like Victoria, we were sitting on this the entire summer and we didn't do this. Hot Fess, like Hot Mess, you know, that could have been his nickname the entire summer and we missed out. You know, now he's gone. This is so sad. So sad. I do think he will go down for his beautiful flowing locks and his good looks in Big Brother history.
Certainly. Here's a voicemail question from Marlene.
I'm so glad I canceled my dental appointment to make this call. How are you guys? Oh my God. Rob Sesternino and Eric Stein. Two great guys. Really, you are. My question to you is, why don't you both get on the show? It would be great to see you. Come on, how many times have you applied? Be honest. See ya. Good luck.
I like that Marlene couldn't fit in her dental appointment and that 32-second voicemail in the same day. She gets.
Yeah, that was my first thought. And then
Clear
my second
my
thought
schedule.
Is, this is actually just Karen Stein, isn't this? Hi, Mommy.
Hi, Mommy.
Why don't we go on the show, Eric?
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess you have to ask production, huh? Right?
Yes. All right. Eric, we said that we were going to touch on some of the spoilers from last night's show. We do have an HOH, so let's get ready to, we're going to talk some spoilers here. Okay. Are you ready, Eric?
Yeah, this would be a good time to go to your dental appointment if you don't want to hear these.
Okay, here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay.
I never get to do the spoiler dance. That was very... I feel totally invigorated now.
Yes. Eric, we have an HOH. It's Tyler.
All right.
Word on the street, Haley and Scotty are going to go on the block.
Oh, I never could have guessed.
All right. You ready to talk about book cameo?
I'm ready. Let's move on.
Anything else to see here with Tyler HOH?
Nothing to say. Nothing to say. Other than I guess the only thing that will be interesting is who gets their way about who goes home. And it probably doesn't matter because the other one's just going to go home next week. But I mean, you look at it this way, right? I think Haley is probably the right person for Tyler to send home because she might have some relations with, you know, JC and Brett and so forth. Right. But then you're like, how could this come back to bite Tyler? It can't, because if Scotty wins HOH next week, he'll be like, I'm indebted to you, Tyler. Thank you so much for keeping me safe last week. Oh, I'll just put up anyone you want. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll get Sam, my best friend in the house out. Yeah, that's perfect. You know, dreadful. It is the worst out. It is the worst possible outcome. And listen, this happens sometimes when someone is playing well, but we have reached full Boston Rob Derek territory here. And I'm fearful that we're going to have a sleepy end to the season. Yeah. I know there's been the rumors. I know where everyone's excited for the big level 6 civil war. I don't think there's going to be a civil war. It's just going to be each one like lambs to slaughter being put out to the pasture. The party's over.
We'll see. We'll see. I do think that there are two major bogeys here for Tyler in this week. I think that one of the things that has really worked in his favor so much this season is that he has been able to at least keep up the facade of, yeah, I don't know. It's not, I wish I had more power. I wish I'm not calling the shots. It's not my, you know, Caitlin is just, you know, it's her call, Angela. And people are always thinking like, oh, he just is doing. Now, again, maybe they think, oh, this is really Angela's second HOH week in a row. But he has so many, so many deals, so many irons in the fire across the house that I have to feel like that there is going to be at least some pushback from people that want a certain, like, this ally wants this, this ally wants this, especially if the veto comes into play where he has to put a replacement nominee up on the block, that I definitely could see there being some potential problems for him in the future. And the second problem, and maybe the bigger one, is going to be the second week of HOH room access for Tyler and Angela, and more opportunities for the rest of the house to be plotting against Tyler while he's upstairs canoodling with the woman who smells like a baby, Angela.
Yeah, the way that I see this, though, is that this is as gimme of a week as he could have possibly had, because he simply can still say, Haley, you're the only person who targeted me and outwardly put me on the block. Scotty, I love you, buddy, but you were out of the house and the rest of the gang, they haven't been. So it's all fair is fair. I want Haley out, but you're the person who needs to sit next to her. But thanks for doing this for me. He comes away fairly scotch free in that situation. And then I think basically, he has to put up Sam as the replacement, and he just has to hope that Sam has nothing better in the house and that Sam's not going to win HOHs. And that's it. Yes, it'll be volatile. Yes, he'll have to smooth it over, but he did it with Caitlin and he's done it with Sam and it's been fine. And I do agree, Angela is more of the potential roadblock, but they're just going to eliminate Angela. That's what it really comes down to. So, and if Angela got saved by a veto, then they'll just eliminate Casey. So I think at this point he's getting very close to being bulletproof. It will require people sitting down, comparing notes to such an extent. And then even then they might just be like, ah, classic Tyler, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. I think he catches a break if there's no double eviction coming up this Thursday, because I feel like that the HOH going into the double eviction is usually a pretty ripe target at the double eviction itself. So I think that also is another thing in his favor heading into potentially a double eviction a week from Thursday. So we'll see how that goes. All right, Eric, on to we were involved in some controversy this week.
Yeah, we were. And first was the Summer of Steve trying to steal my thunder. Yes. Rob as a podcast. Actually, I just wanted to honestly say that I thought, what a nice guy. Boy, did he come across great on Wednesday night. There's probably the most even keel, just like totally chill guy who's ever come off the show this close to it. So just wanted to give a what up to my brethren in the Summer of Hierarchy.
So Summer Steve 2018.
Okay. All right. So some controversy came out this week where, of course, we have been big fans of the website BookCameo.com. They call it Book Cameo, but it's Cameo.com. When your friend and mine, Paulie Calafiore, had been provoked and was the victim of some trolls trying to imply he doesn't know who we are, Eric.
Yeah, I think that you never want to feed the trolls in that situation, not even the beef sauce.
Yes.
And this is five oof behavior from the trolls, because it's outrageous to think that somebody who's been watching the show since season one and was literally interviewed by Rob in the backyard could possibly not know who we are.
Okay. So here is a clip of Paulie, who is turned up and is ready to take on the trolls head on. Here's Paulie earlier this week.
Video actually goes out to the dumbass that spent $35 to have me give Eric Stein, you know, America's favorite from Big Brother 8, a shout out. So shout out to you trolls for sucking fucking dick and, you know, wasting your money that goes into my bank account trying to make a joke at my expense. I mean, what do they think? Like, I'm an idiot? You know, like, I ain't watched Big Brother since season one? Right. But hey, I appreciate you guys for supporting me always. I mean, especially my bank account, because I keep making money and y'all keep looking like fucking idiots. Eric Stein, loved you, by the way. You man. And appreciate that podcast you do with Rob. You guys kill it out there. Keep doing your thing, man. Always down to support other BB alum.
There you go. Eric, you got a shout out.
Yeah, this is no controversy. This is absolute pure generosity here. This is an enormous showing of support. In fact, this message right here, the trolls get five oofs, but Paulie, he gets the anti-oof of the week. He gets the foo.
The foo.
Yeah, five foos for this.
Eric Stein, loved you, by the way. You the man.
I love you, the you man. Too, Paulie. That is my man right there. And I was thinking, now that we're
Eric,
connected,
my man, what is good?
I think, first of all, I appreciate the fact that after a decade, I have finally ascended to America's favorite. It took a really long time, but I finally made it. And honestly, I think he is crushing it. I think he is feeding the positivity. And the trolls are trying to bring him down. So I'm proposing a business endeavor that we open up with Paulie. First of all, we have probably already earned him about, you know, $250. So that's the first business endeavor. But second of all, I'm going to suggest that right here in New York City, we open up butterflies and buttered pies together.
Yes, go on.
That's it. It's just it. We just serve some of his world famous pies and capitalize on this mojo together to take down the trolls together. Yeah. Where do you stand on all of this?
Here's what I stand on this. And I want to speak directly to the trolls. We don't need you to buy messages from Paulie Calafiore to Eric Stein. Okay, trolls, you got that?
Not to mention that he knows who I am. So if he wanted to leave me a message, he could just call me on my cell phone and leave me a message.
How much would that cost?
That's free. He doesn't need the trolls to have him want to converse with me. It's unnecessary.
Yeah. So all you trolls out there, leave our friend Paulie Calafiore alone, because the joke's on you. That money is going to his bank account.
That's right. You see, now I strongly considered joining Cameo this week, but the sheer thought of how many messages I'd have to record for Paulie made me have to pull back. Although the great Caitlin Herman did offer to counsel me if I were to join per your request, Rob is brokering things for me. I was going to set my price at a mere $3. I thought that was the appropriate price for my level of desirability. And Caitlin said that I'm worth more than that. I can get at least $15. So, and this is going to be a blockbuster, I am rehiring. I fired Caitlin for Paulie on Monday, and Paulie is still being very supportive, so I want him on my team. But I'm going to rehire Caitlin, and I'm going to do sessions alternating days with each of them, and my life will be better than ever by the end of the summer of Stein.
Okay. So everybody leave Paulie Calfiore alone.
What a nice guy. Seriously. I don't know what people were thinking.
He's our friend. He loves Eric Stein. So let's
Eric Stein. Loved you, by the way. You the man.
Okay.
He's a great friend of the podcast, and he knows that you have been sending out implementing your fans like the great Howard Stern, I read. So I feel like maybe we could get him on later in the summer, the grand live finale.
Consider us. You and I are...
I remember all my ride or dies from the beginning.
That's us.
Yeah, we could directly book Paulie on the new website. Book Paulie for the show. Okay. It's perfect.
All right, so no more messages for Eric Stein from Paulie Calafiore. But, all right, Eric, I don't know.
Wait a minute. What is happening here?
I don't know if you know about this. This is a message that we have for baby Dino the dog from Paulie Calafiore.
Oh my. This is no more messages for me, but I'll take these. Now, hold on a second. Let me get baby Dino. I know we're live, but he's going to want to hear this if it's for him.
Okay.
Hold on one
second. Go ahead. Baby Dino the dog. We have already put in a request. No more messages from Paulie Calafiore for Eric Stein. He knows who Eric Stein is. He could leave him a message if he wants him. This here is a message for baby Dino the dog from
Paulie. All right, now, poor guy just woke up from a nap, and I don't think he was expecting such a generous gift here like that. So let's see how well he takes it.
Okay, so tell him to get excited. All right, here's a message for baby Dino the dog.
I have something for you. I have a present.
Okay. All right, listen, boy. Here, boy. Here.
Yeah, this one goes out to baby Dino the dog. I've never actually given a shout out to a dog before, but I appreciate you for being a fan from day one and never flip-flopping. So shout out to you. I hope you get some good doggy treats from your owners, and hopefully they post some cute little videos of you playing, because I love seeing videos of little doggies running around doing whatever dogs do. Appreciate you.
There you go.
Dino,
you're not a flip-flopper, boy.
Well, he did just rip my headset out of my ears, but yes, Dino is very loyal. Dogs are man's best friends, right?
Yeah,
he would never flip-flop on Paulie. That was incredible.
Never a flip-flopper. So good job there by Paulie Calafiore. And
things are really falling apart here. I'm losing headphones, losing this. But oh my god, Now, was that language specifically requested for the video, the never flip-flop?
I'm not sure.
Go-to phrases.
I'm not sure. That got sent to me by one of our listeners, Colin.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, Colin. Dino really appreciated that. I would have probably led in that scenario with, what is up, my dog?
I don't know if he does dog. Does he say dog?
I guess not. It's not in his arsenal. Yeah. Very surprising stuff there. That honestly really tickles my heart. That was a very thoughtful message.
That was a good one.
And I'm like, I'm sure Paulie, unfortunately, I'm sure he will see some photos of baby the Dino dog enjoying his message. But I don't think he's going to take it well.
Now, Eric, you have another message here. This is from another one of our listeners. Got you a book cameo. Now, I didn't even know this was possible. Got you a book cameo from JC.
Whoa.
Okay. This is a book cameo message for Eric from JC.
Eric, I hear that you are a fan of my hot dog beef spaghetti. Sorry to tell you that there is none left because I have been using it to fatten up my fellow housemates so that they will not be able to perform in the competitions against me. I cannot believe that you waste your time and money on book cameo. You are my big, fat, stupid, moronic, dumb puppet. No, I kid. You are a very good guy. For me to poop on...
This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I love cameo.com.
Now, Eric, this has been very stressful, of course, with everything going on with this whole situation where Paulie was fighting the trolls. We had his back and everything. Just generally a stressful week for us. One of our listeners, John Tinkham, actually got a cameo from me this week.
Whoa,
from one of my favorite artists. We have a cameo here for me from the great Tayson Day.
Oh my goodness. Wow, someone is dishing out the big bucks for you, Rob.
Here's a special message for me from Tayson Day.
Hey, Rob, I'm sorry that you had a rough week at work. All of my best wishes and hopes that your next week and future weeks at work will be less stressful. You definitely should be more appreciated, Rob C.
Yes.
Simple thank you would definitely be great once in a while. Additionally, I hope that all of your days are filled with chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Only that you stay dry, Rob C, that you don't feel as much pain. You continue to win in 2018, 2019, 2020, and beyond. May each and every one of your best wishes be well on their way to coming true. And thank you so very much for being a fan. Good luck, Rob.
A big wish did come true right there, Eric.
Oh my goodness. This was really on the nose. You know, after you were not getting any love, you almost had to cancel the podcast last week. Then you had all these ups and downs with the cameos. So for it to end on such a positive, this shows what happens if you feed the positive,
feed the Rob. Positive.
Eventually it will turn around for you.
And the, oh my the, God, the only thing I'm disappointed about that Tayson Day that he has two gears on. I watch all of his book cameos. He has two gears on the book cameo. He has the happy book cameo and the sad book cameo. Tell me if you can spot which is which, Eric. Okay. All right. Happy and sad. Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
Very happy. I can see it already.
This one is for Chris.
Holy moly, Chris Abraham, thank you so very much for being a big...
Okay.
That's a very nice speaking voice.
This one is for Katie.
Holy moly, Katie, congratulations on getting married. That's a big...
Here's one from...
This is actually a fault in the site. Now that he's kind of outing them for recording the same thing over and over again. If these were individualized, it'd be better.
Here's one for Martha.
Hey, Martha, I'm sure that you've been lately. I'm sending my best energy, my best vibes that the sun will.
Here's one for Jessica.
Holy moly, Jessica Sanchez, you got a new home. Congratulations on that. May I sing to you?
Here's one for Brendan.
Holy moly, Brendan, congratulations on your...
I'm going to go 5 out of 6 holy molies. The last one's a holy moly.
Holy moly.
All right. Okay. Sean Ratatat Heron. Holy moly?
Come on,
or?
Holy moly.
Okay.
Holy moly, Sean Ratatat.
It's really bad. If you get one that doesn't start with the holy moly, that's an oof. You know that you're it's really had a
that's
bad week.
That's why I was waiting, yeah. You know, on the one that I got. I know I had a bad week at work, but it would have been really cheered up with a holy moly.
You have no idea how much time I spent on the site this week, like scouring for who I could buy and who I'm going to send them to and this and that. And then it occurred to me, like, you guys do realize it's live on the East Coast at 2:42 in the afternoon, and I'm sitting here doing this podcast, right? Everyone who's spending all of this money, couldn't you just give it to me? I need money. We're throwing our money in the garbage.
Holy moly.
For dogs, for goodness sake. We're getting messages from me from a man who clearly knows who I am. He's been watching since season one. I need $35, guys, not these people. But these are honestly the gifts that keep on giving. You're going to watch that when the times get tough.
Yeah.
Always. You know, it's just going to pick you back up.
Holy moly.
I didn't know that was one of his catchphrases.
He's in big demand.
He's killing it on there.
Number one stars. Yeah.
He does a great job there.
Eric Stein, loved you, by the way. Yeah. You the man.
By the way, the next frontier is celebvm.com, Eric. It's a little low rent. It's not as nice as the Cameo site, but there's a good assortment there as well.
I've been really excited for some of the late additions to this. It seems like Cameo is really picking up some steam here. So I think the best is yet to come. Still.
They really are. Best is yet to come. All right, Eric, I need to go and pick up my kid at school soon. So any other thoughts on Big Brother, The Battle Back, Book Cameo, Dino the Dog, Meat Sauce?
That pretty much summarized everything. I was like, I need to go and take a nap soon. So I'm with you. We got to call this. But Dino really does appreciate his message. And you're right. He's never a flip-flopper. Never, ever.
Never a flip-flopper. Wouldn't it be great if this whole podcast was a viral marketing stunt to promote Book Cameo?
Yeah, seriously. Well, it actually started occurring to me that in a very meta way, as our world started colliding and Caitlin's going to coach me on how to do Cameo, we're receiving the cameos. My dog is getting one. It started occurring to me that we probably actually could do a very brief sale where we actually do pretty well on Cameo. So, I'm still kicking around the idea. I'm thinking about it. I just feel like it would go south on me.
And all the trolls have us make messages for Pauly Calafiore?
Yeah, I just think, I could see
it. Pauly, my man, what is good?
After the 15th time, I don't know if he'd be appreciating it anymore. Although, actually, there is... I presume you need the person's email address to be able to send right?
Yeah, right.
So it needs to be someone who's coming from the inside of the Calafiore family, or otherwise they won't be able to send him this beautiful gift. Yeah.
And I might as well consider you a part of the Calafiore family.
Yeah.
comes complete with a kiss on daddy's lips.
Let's see. Do we have any other questions for Eric before we run? Let's see. This is from Jack Z. Suck it, level 6 fans. Falte dominated the battle back. 1 through 4. Falte, baby.
Hey, they're bound to win something eventually.
Yeah.
Hey, it's funny. In that amazing segment where Haley and Fessy laid it all out, it really put into perspective what could have been, right? They had the opportunity to actually take control of this game, and they just Falte'd all over themselves.
Yep. All right. Eric, we've got a great show coming up Sunday night. We'll be back to recap the Sunday night episode of Big Brother as we head into September here of Big Brother 20. Eric and I will be back with you next Friday to talk about what goes on during this week. Eric, the possibilities are endless.
I have a feeling I'll be feeling very low energy when we speak next Friday.
Eric could be low energy by then. Of course, thanks to all my ride or dies on Patreon that are definitely not flip-floppers, been with me when the times are good. They didn't leave when the times were bad. So thank you guys so much for your support.
The real ones.
The real ones, my dudes, over on patreon.com/RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/patron. Of course, follow Eric on Twitter at Eric Stein Tweets. And everyone, all you trolls out there, leave Pauly alone.
Yeah, we like Pauly. We appreciate these messages. We absolutely love hearing from him. Do not harass the great Pauly C.
He's out there running errands, making cameos. Doesn't need all the negativity from you trolls out there.
Yeah, feed the positive. That's a message straight from Clammy E right there.
Clammy E. All right, we still got to work on those Clammy E shirts. And with that, Eric, let's tell people what's coming up next time on The Summer of Stein. Oh, wrong song. Okay, let's try. Take two.
Holy moly! If Eric thinks that he can get all the love from Pauly Calafiore, he's got another thing coming.
Rob thinks that I don't know Rob. I saw Survivor at the Amazon. I saw Survivor All-Stars. I do a podcast with him. Of course I know Rob.
You're doing great, my man, but I'm still going to have to come for you next week.
What will happen next week when one of the Calafiore brothers comes to kill Rob or Eric? Or will they survive another week? Find out on the Summer of Stein.
Holy moly.
All right. Bye, everybody.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loathing, there's a pounding in my weirdly shaped head. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already. Wish I'd stayed in bed. I'm not